Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is one of your hosts for the day, Apostle W.J. Armstrong, and Apostle McIntyre is here. Good evening, Apostle McIntyre. Oh, that's not Apostle McIntyre. I know who that is. Well, we'll have to wait on Apostle McIntyre. Apostle Miller, a secretary, was involved in an accident this evening, and she is on her way to the hospital to see how her secretary is doing. I think she spoke with her, and she said that the secretary told her that she was fine. But they've taken her to the hospital anyway. So, today we will be discussing, where is your God? Where is your God? And you know, as I was going through the week, as I was listening with both natural ear and spiritual ears, I had a question. I was just looking for God. See where he is and see how he is manifesting himself in the lives of the people and in the lives of those situations and circumstances that we are witnessing that is taking place in the earth realm today. And as I was watching and listening, that was one of the things, one of the questions that I began to ponder. And I concluded that there must be different gods, because it appears as if one God is holding people accountable for their behavior, for their action, and the other God is not. And what I'm basing that on is the fruit. The fruits that I see, some of the fruits go back to the devil. The devil is the father of lies. And as I continued to sit there and watch during the week, there was lies piled on top of lies, and people use my junior psychology as a certificate says it's projection. They were projecting their ego needs onto other people. They're projecting their problems that they are facing onto other people. They were not able to stand firm, and accept the consequences of their behavior. And I just was amazed at how long this took, and how the news media keep listening and playing that mess over and over and over. And it's like, to me, that's insanity. They're playing it over and over and expecting different results. No, you're not going to get different results. You're getting the same result that you got before. And it's amazing. Now, I hope that's you this time.
Hello.
Hello. This is the Apostle.
How are you, Apostle Armstrong?
I am fantastic. And
wonderful.
What's keeping
that
way? I see
my phone trying to act up.
Oh, well.
So we're going to take authority over that in the name of Jesus.
That's right. Absolutely right. Because the word says that we have that authority over the demons, scorpions, and serpents, and power over the enemy. So we must utilize it. And then the word also said that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 4, that we have authority. We have dominion over the earth. So when we look at things that way and we exercise that authority which has been delegated from the Father to the Son through the disciples down to us, and that authority is just as powerful today as it was whenever it was passed first, passed now.
That's true.
So and we will get into taking a look at how that applies to our current situation that's taking place around us. Psalm 83. This is the NIV version.
It reads 83. Thus.
Yes.
Okay.
It reads thus: O God, do not remain silent. Do not turn a deaf ear. Do not stand aloof, O God. See how your enemies growl, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, so that Israel's name is remembered no more. With one mind they plot together. They form an alliance against you. Now I'm going to read that again, and this time I'm going to apply it to my understanding of the situation and circumstances that are taking place around me. And as I read it, it's going to be paraphrased. It's going to be applicable to today's situation. Oh God, do not remain silent. God, where are you? Are you here? Are you deaf? Do you see? Do you not see what we're going through? Have you turned a deaf ear to what is going on here? Why are you standing aloof like nothing is happening? If you see how the enemy, see what the enemies are doing. See how they are treating you. Not just me, but treating you. I'm just your representative in the earth. And it's hard for me to talk to others about you whenever these characters appear as if they have no regard for you. And your enemies are my enemies. My enemies are your enemies. Our foes, how they really rear their ugly head. They act like they're in control. They act like they're the ones that have the authority. But your word is clear to me. It says, in the beginning, you created the heavens and earth. None of them existed.
Mm-hmm.
They're conspiring against your people. They're conspiring against us. And they plot against those you cherish, those who you call, those who you chosen for a time as this. And they said, come, let us destroy them as a nation, as a people. Let them destroy them as a people. They're not human anyway. So what difference does it make? I just paraphrased it the way that it came to me. My feelings, my understanding of what I see that's happening in the world today. And we want to ask God, where are you? Where are you? And those of us who, I'm going to let you answer, let you respond, Apostle. And then I will respond.
Well, first of all, we know that the Word of God says as long as we're in this earth, we're going to have tests and trials and tribulations. The Word has already told us that. The Word has also told us that God is a long-suffering God. He is He's not in a hurry because he already knows the outcome. But I think the one thing that we need to do when we get in these troubling times, and these are definitely troubling times, these are times that the enemy has really turned up the pressure, and it is to make us kind of lose. It is to make us become weary. It is enough to make us say, oh, God, how long, how long, how long? You know, are you even in town? You really see what I'm going through. And what helps me, Apostle Armstrong, is that I go back and I read in the Word, and I see all the other times that the people of God were in seemingly impossible situations. And it was absolutely like, you know, there was no way out. The boys in the fiery furnace, Daniel in the lion's den, the children of Israel at the sea. So what we have to do a lot of times is go back and first of all realize he's the same God. He's still more powerful than anything that can come against us. And like you said, it's what we're keeping our eyes on. We're ingesting more of what the world is saying than what the Word of God is saying. You will become overwhelmed. You will become frustrated and feelings of hopelessness and, you know, what's the use? What's the point? It's amazing that you said that because my church member, that she's been with me for 14 years, and Dallas, and we've been believing God for her healing, for God to give her new kidneys, believing for her to you know, just come out and be one of those miraculous testimonies that we would be able to share with the world. But she went home to be with the Lord last week, and I went to her viewing this morning. Her funeral services are tomorrow at 2. And people might not say it, but it left me in a place I was kind of numb. I'm like, okay, we prayed, we stood, we believed God, all this. And, you know, it'll try to mess with your head. It'll try to tell you. And so the Holy Spirit just said, he said, are you angry at me? And I said, no, I'm not angry. I said, I'm disappointed because I am really fed up with standing in prayer and believing God for these people to get healed, delivered, and they keep dying. You know, we're doing the same word, preaching and teaching the same word you did, and I'm supposed to be getting the same results. So my thing is, where am I not connected? I'm not looking at him because he hadn't changed. And he said, there's one thing you always say. You say you never put a person's experience over the Word of God. God never missed it. See, that's hard for us sometimes to even say or to even accept, but God doesn't miss it. And there's so many factors, Apostle Armstrong, in why things happen the way they happen. And we're not going to always have the answers. We're not going to always know. So that's where our trust comes in him. And the only way I can trust him is that I stay in the Word. I keep my relationship with him intimate and personal. I know that he doesn't lie. And so I'm like, okay, God. He said, are you going to stop teaching my word about healing? I said, no, sir, I'm not going to do that because you don't change. If anything doesn't come out like we see it come out for you when you did it, I have to ask you, Lord, open my eyes even the more. Show me perhaps where, if it was something on my part that I was disconnected, or you never know the conversation that she'd been 15 years on dialysis, and she'd been in and out of the hospital so much in the last year. She had told me, she said, Apostle, I'm just tired. And she would be 61 the 14th of this month. Her birthday will be this week coming up. It was hard for me because we had a good, close relationship. She considered me, she called me mama. And it really was, but, you know, and I felt myself getting so frustrated and weary and everything. And then I said, no, I can't allow that. I got to get back to the word. God will do exactly what he said. If all the enemy wants you to do is start doubting God in one area, and then you doubting God in another area, and it just spreads like, you know, an infection or something. And I told the Lord, I said, even though I don't understand all this, and I don't know why it came out like this, I'm still going to trust you. I've seen you move many times. I've seen in your word where you have delivered your people out of really difficult, hard places. There's no explanation for it except your goodness. I said, so I just, the only recourse I have is to trust you and trust you even more. And so that's what we're going to have to do today. God's timing is always perfect. We get weary. He told us don't be weary and we'll do it. But sometimes we get weary because we want things to be over quickly. And we want it to be resolved quickly. And when it's not, then we have a tendency to get frustrated. And rather than stay and finish the game, I'm going to take my ball and just leave y'all to Jack. Well, you know, we can't have much if I take the ball. So what we're going to have to do is, Lord, this didn't turn out like I want to. Help me not to be like Job's wife. You know, she told me, why don't you curse God and die? You sound like a foolish woman. So I told God, I will not charge you foolishly. I know that you didn't kill her. I know that because you're not a killer. You're the giver of life. You would never have said to take those stripes on your body if you did not want her to get healed. So a lot of times it's on us. And what that caused me to do is just dig deep into the word of Apostle Armstrong and see, do I get more revelation and more understanding? And like I said, sometimes you prayed and did all that, and sometimes they still go home. And we don't have an answer. But it's not because God has changed his mind. That's what I have to keep in the forefront of my mind. It's not because God has changed his mind. And as painful it is for her to go home, another side of me rejoices because she's no longer in the hospital, all those tubes and things in her. You know, now she is healthy. She's in the presence of the Lord. You know, but I still want to see it on this side. So what we have to do is just go back in the word and I look at impossible places that it had to be God. I mean, it just had to be. Nobody else has ever opened a sea up and let over 3 million people walk across on dry land. Nobody's ever, you know, took the heat out of the fire, joined you in the fire. So I go back and I look, this is the same God. This is the same God that his son raised a man after being dead for the distance. And I put my focus on that. I put my focus on that. I begin to tell myself how good God is. I don't let my emotions and my mind, which have tried, you know, God will never let you down. Things may not always turn out like we want it, but that's where we have to trust God and know that there are things that happen in this situation that maybe you're not even aware of. So, you know, that's kind of how I look at it when I want to ask, because there are times, Apostle Armstrong, now there are some people tell you, I'll never, no, I ain't there yet.
No, that's right.
I'm not there yet, Apostle, because this one here got me. I'm like, Lord, you know, I went to the hospital and I laid hands on her and I anointed her and I prayed and I've served over the communion table. God, you said these hands were, you know, and this one, and it has made me want to ask that. But I'm like, Lord, there are just things in this between you and her that I don't know anything about. But one thing I do know, I can never get to a place where I don't trust you. I can't get to that place. I can't get to that place because your word doesn't support that. Your word says that you're a good God and you're good to all. And so that's what I have to do, and that's what I've had to do really this week, is just stay in it and keep this word and just keep praising and worshiping God, because this one I don't understand.
down where that script has come by understanding, but every word comes out of the mouth of God.
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes it takes us to that point. And he knew that we would be there. So he gave us something to give us some hope. Some hope.
Yes.
Just like he told me a month or so ago. He said, when you've done all you can do, stand.
Yes.
Stand. And, you know, he knew that I understood what he was saying. Stand on the word. What is the word? And once you stand on that word, once you identify what the word is, that's whenever you have peace. You can have that peace that pass all understanding. And you can sit and look all this chaos that's going on around. Everything of it. In America, in Europe, in Africa, in Ukraine, in Russia.
Yes.
And know that now, what's going on? You don't blame God, because God is not the one that's doing it. It's selfish man that's doing it. Selfish man. Mm-hmm. Just like that song. Psalm 83. They are plotting. They're doing everything under the sun. And it's like, it's not bothering them. But you know, for people who have walked the walk and talked the talk, we understand what is happening now. We understand where God is. God is right here with us every mile of the way. And and it's not something we read. It's been our walk. It's a process. I know mine has been a process. I didn't wake up overnight and say, oh, I'm saved and I'm going to do this. No, it's not. I said, I must have did something wrong. I got the emotion high. I would go to church and go to worship and the music be playing and I get all hyped up just like I had an eye. And what I love about and I was sitting there, I must have did something wrong. Excuse me. I had I had a positive test for the C thing, and I refused to accept that. And that was 10 days ago, and following the CDC guidelines, you know, you're able to move around as long as you wear your mask. So you don't, you don't give somebody a test positive. You don't test positive for a while as you go through this stuff works. And as it works up out of your system, that's when you may have some side effects. First time I had it, I didn't have all this. But I guess my body, whenever it came back this time, it said, you denied me last time. I'm going to show you this time. But, we have to have a sense of humor. You know, you get all serious about everything that's going on, and you wind up beating yourself up. It's not about that. Word. Simple as that. Word. But we can tell you the word that you, that's left up to you. That's you in your relationship with your creator, who is the same creator as our creator. But we're in different places in different times, and we have different creators.
Apostle Armstrong.
Go ahead.
My phone, I'm on my landline, and it is breaking up so bad. I'm going to hang up and call back in on my cell. I can't hardly hear you.
Okay. All right. We do have a couple of people listening. Does anybody have any comments you'd like to make about where your God is? Silence is golden, I guess. Well, one thing, I as a child, I concluded that there must be two different gods anyway. And God holds for that. And another God does not. Those individuals that appear there being rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to struggle with that until I got in the Word. Now, what does the Word say? And whenever I start doing it that way, that's when my light bulb started going off. That's when I realized that the Creator has not left us, nor has He forsaken us. And we are the one that lead them. And listen to Him. And we wind up doing the same thing they did in the garden.
I've got
that. What happened was, whenever you look at it, they chose to believe the devil, the serpent, as opposed to the one that created the serpent. To experience the power, and I know 1 Timothy chapter 2, things 1 through 4, you pray for all people.
Hello? Pause Armstrong? Pause Armstrong? Hello. Apostle Armstrong. Hello?
Hello?
Pastor Armstrong?
Yes, I'm here. We're having some type of technical problem going through the computer.
Okay. Because I know I didn't hear anything. Oh, Lord. I done lost them all together now.
So, I'm back now. I called in by the telephone. As opposed to you.
Okay. I said, oh, goodness, this worse than the phone. Then I didn't hear anything. I said, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, evidently, the message that's going out is that the Creator wants out there. and the enemy evidently is trying to block it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not giving the devil any credit for nothing.
Right.
But there was some technical problems with the platform, and I did not allow that to block. What I did was just called in by a telephone, and the show ministry must go on.
Amen. Well, one thing that the enemy is trying to do is really to wear out the saints. He really is, and that's all he's ever tried to do, was always to make us believe that God does not love us, that, you know, we can't really do anything about the things that are going on. And if we'll use the tools that God gave us, he gave us his word, he gave us his name, he gave us his blood, and we have the ability to pray in the spirit and to walk in love. And we do those things, and things may not move as quickly or as swiftly as we want them to, but one thing I know for sure, the earth is the Lord's, and no demon, devil, principality, or power is ever going to take over this earth. I know that we, mankind, have been delivered from the curse, but the curse is still out there in the world. That's why you have people that are under the influence of the evil one, and they're doing his bidding. He can't get anything done, just like God, unless you have a person to carry it out through. And so many people are being influenced by the enemy. You know, we have to be taught to hate. You come in this world, you put little kids together, and they'll play together. They don't even care nothing. They don't even look at that. And so we are being indoctrinated with so much from the kingdom of darkness. There's so much hatred and malice that the enemy is spewing, because he knows that if he can keep us divided, we won't get anything done. Because the word tells us a house divided against itself, it cannot stand. It cannot stand. But the storms of life is going to come, like Mark 4. But when the storms come, what we're built on is going to determine whether we stand or not. Now, those that are built on the rock or the word of God, we're going to be able to stand, because we know that all these things are seasonal or they're temporary. They are subject to and will change. The thing is that we must stand fast on what we know to be the truth. We cannot allow anything else to come out. This world is full of the glory of God. God is doing great and mighty things. This is not denying the evil and stuff we see, but we need to celebrate more of what God is doing. There are so many awesome things, Apostle, that God is doing in this earth. They're not going to put on the news. They're not going to put it in the newspaper. Because what they want to do is paint you a bleak picture that the world would be much better if we get all this type of people out of the earth, if we do this and we do that. And that's the only thing that they're going to, and they do it repeatedly, over and over and over and over, and indoctrinate people's minds with it. And if you don't have the word of God in there to counter that, you're going to believe that. So we have to continually feed our spirit the word of God in order to keep ourselves built up, you know, to keep ourselves encouraged. And like I said, the first thing we need to know and understand, God does not lie. God is a good God. He's a faithful, loving God. He keeps his word. I don't care what it looks like right now. It's changing. We may not be able to see it with our natural eyes, because things are done in the realm of the spirit first. And then you see manifestations. But we are going to see the goodness of God. We're going to see untold people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see such a mighty move of his spirit in the earth. But like I say, the news media and all of those, they're not going to put that on the TV or in the papers or on any social media site. because the enemy knows if that gets on there, that's going to bring unity. No, he's got to feed things that's going to keep us divided. And so what we have to know is that we have to counter that with the word of God. And like you say, you go back to that in Timothy, and he said, pray for those. And the reason why he wants us to pray, because we can't change any man's heart, but God can. God can. We just begin to pray the will of God and ask God to change those people's hearts, that they will begin to see things. And that's all the way things are changing the earth, Apostle, you know, is people get the word of God in him, get his heart in them. And what comes out of God? Love and forgiveness and peace and joy. And if you love somebody, you don't want to hurt them. You don't want to take anything away from them. You wouldn't even think about taking their lives. You know, what can I do to help? How can I be a blessing to you? See, that's from the nature of God. And so we're just going to have to stand on that word. And it was enough to deliver over 5 million Jews out of Egypt. There was not one feeble one among their tribe, not one. Do you know that all those people, how they had been beaten and mistreated and horrible? And he told them to take a lamb and roast it, and put that blood on the lintel and the doorposts. And when the death angel came through, he would pass over their homes. It would not attack them. Well, we still got to apply that blood. We got to apply that blood. And when Satan sees that blood, he knows God lives here. Jesus lives here. This has already been paid for. You can't touch that. So we're just going to have to get back and just really get more and more into the word of God. And when people say, well, you know, I really don't have time to get into the word, well, you don't really want out. Because if you don't really want out, because if you really want out, you'll do what it takes to come out. And it's going to take spending time in his presence. It's going to take spending time in prayer and saying what God say, even though, and you know, we're going to have to purposely look away, look away from what the world is doing. And he told him, he said, when those serpents were released within that camp, he told them to take a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And everyone that looked, he didn't mean just take a quick glance. No, that was a long, continuing snare. Now, this snake's crawling all around you, people hollering and screaming, people dying. But he told you to take a long, which means look away from what's happening there and look up to me that's able to deliver you out of that. And that's what we're going to have to do today. We're going to have to look to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and know that our redemption draws nigh and that God is going to do exactly what he said. And even when we don't understand, we still got to rejoice.
He made that clear in Luke 10:18-19-20.
Yes.
Told us we have that authority over the demons,
spoken. Yes, we do.
Power over the enemy. And then whenever that was being applied, the disciples that they sent out, they came back talking about what all they've done. And the Messiah, he made it clear to them, you don't rejoice in that. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And now, if you were talking about what all you've done, verse 20 says you don't rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven. And
that
came very important, because before I was doing that, I was excited, I can do this and I can do the other. And then next thing I know, I'm being slapped around. And I said, wait a minute, I don't know what the word said. But I didn't finish what the word said. The word says that I shouldn't rejoice that I was able to do this, but rejoice in the fact that my name is written in heaven. And what does the devil have to do? He has to go back and forth to heaven to get permission from the Creator to do anything to any of his people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have followed the word, to the letter of the word as written, then you don't have anything to worry about. The credit is not going to give you up to the devil. Mm-hmm. And if he does, he put everything we need there to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
And the poor devil is just running around, I don't know what. And then what he does is he get us, well, the devil made me do it. That would have made you do that. You just gave the devil credit for something that he didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
You did it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, where is God? He's there.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking with you.
Yeah.
He's sitting beside you. He is holding your hand. As you walk back to the life footprint, he's carrying you.
Yes.
He is carrying you. And he freed, just like he freed the people in Egypt from slavery.
Mm-hmm.
He freed us from slavery here in America.
Amen.
And what happened? We turned our back on God. We went to the Supreme Court. We went to the presidency. And we thought that was going to be our savior. But those two institutions have turned against us. But where is God? He's right there waiting.
Where's all those things? That's right.
We're right. So.
And he said he would never leave us, and that's exactly what he meant. He said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And that is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he's where he's always been. You know, he's really no bigger than he is in our mouths. You know, your God, and it's Jehovah, he's no bigger than he is in our mouths. Some of us have got this devil, and he's that, you remember when the Hulk used to come on that make him angry, and he turned into this great big old green man?
Yeah.
That's how some of us got the devil looking. And Jesus looked like Mighty Mouse, but and so you know it's whichever one we give power by the words of our mouth and what we allow to come out of our mouths. We give that power to operate either for us or against us. Because God gave us His word, but what we do with His word, it is not up to God; it's up to us. It's not up to God what we do with His word. It's up to us what we do with His word. And if He tell you, don't be just a doer, don't be just a hearer only.
That's right.
So it's up to us what we do. He sent His word. Did you receive it? Did you believe it? Are you acting on it? See, that's the thing. It's you know, I can call you all day, but if you don't ever answer, you still won't know what I wanted.
That's right.
So God's calling, and he's showing up in places, and he's doing things that sometimes it doesn't look like what we think it ought to look like, so we don't think it's working. But I believe that God comes disguised sometimes. You know, a problem looked like it's going to take me over, but that thing drove me into God. It drove me to my knees. It caused me to spend more time with Him. It caused me to look at myself like I've never looked at me. And when all of it was over and the smoke was clear, we were standing, and I had grew up. I had gained strength. So sometimes it comes as a disguise, and like you said, a lot of people have turned their backs on God. They really have. You know, it's kind of like, God, if you get me out of this, I promise you, until that pain of that thing become a distant memory, and then you forget your part. You forget what you promised Him. Now, Lord, I promise you, if you had just helped me this one time, if you just helped me. But you know what I love about God? So many things are possible. But I look back at the children of Israel, even when he brought them out, and he was telling them they didn't need a king, but they wanted to be like everybody else, and they wanted a king. He's going to allow them to have a king, And when they would rebel, you know, one king would come up and he'd be a good king. Then the next king come on. A lot of times it was the sons, you know, come up and they would do evil. This one would do evil. But what I find so beautiful, one of the things about God is every time they would repent and come back to God, he would forgive. He would forgive and he would help them. Well, that's where he's at. He's the same God. And he's just looking for us nations to repent, change our minds, turn back to him, and he's still ready to help.
Mm-hmm. Thing is, also, mm-hmm. he one or two.
Yeah.
Are the light into, and he going to mm-hmm. one or two to change the many.
Yes.
He never used the mother tools for anything.
No, he didn't. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Even when Jesus was healing, he didn't heal them all. He had one, and that one went and told others, and the others came.
Mm-hmm.
We have to begin to see ourselves different. We have to begin to see ourselves as one of the children of the group. And once we began to do that, that's whenever change began to take place.
That's right.
Until that happens, we're going to continue change to keep doing the same thing over and over again. And I learned that in my first year general psychology class. When you do the same thing over again, expecting different results, that's a sign of a what?
This is crazy, isn't it?
You know, we have to begin to take a look at what's happening. And then if we want to make that change, then we can see things begin to happen differently in our lives and in the lives of the nation. The nation.
Yes.
See,
yes.
We walk around here like, it's them. They're the nation. It's them. And those politicians know we are the nation. Just like we are the church.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew 25, judgment of the nation. He didn't say judgment of the individual. He said judgment of the nation. So we have to get into that word for ourselves and stop being lazy and sitting there waiting for somebody to come along and tell us what to do. Already laid out. And that's one thing about Awesome Miller. First thing is the already. It's already.
Mm-hmm.
He already put everything here. Just
that's
like
right.
He already healed her secretary. The healing has started.
She's already here.
That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then here you come along talking about love. The apostle of love. And you're telling us how much God loves us unconditionally. And my thing is the now. We're living in the now. Not to tomorrow. Not yesterday. Now.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing with the life that you have right now in this
And once we begin to understand
and see things along those lines, we won't keep putting stuff off till tomorrow. Tomorrow, I used to laugh. Tomorrow never comes. Well, it doesn't. Tomorrow will never come. Never, ever come. It's always today. When
it
gets to tomorrow,
okay.
Tomorrow is today. Today is yesterday. It's tomorrow.
People
have been brainwashed into looking out yonder. Oh, I got this.
Yeah.
I can do this. I can do the other. No, you can't. You mm-hmm. All you have is right now. And how
that's
you
it.
Deal with what you have right now is going to determine what the next now is going to be.
That's right. That's
and
right.
That's whenever you really come into understanding of the Creator, who the Creator
mm-hmm.
is and what the Creator is about.
Mm-hmm.
And you quit laying guilt trip on yourself.
Right, right, right. And we can always remember, and I love that scripture, and you refer to it a lot in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where he exhorted
mm-hmm.
us to, first of all, pray and give thanks, be made for all men, for kings, and for all in authority. And I think about Saul when he was persecuting the church. And when God arrested him on the road to Damascus, he asked him. He didn't ask him, why are you persecuting the church? He said, why are you persecuting me? Because we're his body. He said, why are you persecuting my church? He said, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the prick. And I look at that, and Saul was a wolf. Saul was a wolf. God changed him to a lamb, and he wrote over two-thirds of the New Covenant. He had more insight into grace than
mm-hmm.
any other apostle. So when God tells us, see, that is a prescription there for God to get in, because if he could change Saul's heart from a wolf to that of a lamb, from one that wanted to kill for one that wanted to give his own life for the sake of the gospel. Then when we do that, all these people need that's in seats of authority is for God to get a hold of their hearts. And the only way he can do that is those of us that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to pray this prayer and begin to lift up from the president on down. God, you know you are a righteous judge. You're the only one that can change a man's heart. And so we lay these people before you. We ask you, Lord God, to intervene, to begin to minister to their hearts. And see, God, being a righteous judge, he knows who's going to say yes and who's going to say no. And then he's going to handle, okay, Pharaoh, I've sent you all these plagues. I've given you 10 opportunities to let my people go. And you see, that show he's long stuff. Some people say, 10, I wouldn't have given no 10. See, God's time is right, you know. He gave him, and on the 10th one, it cost them every firstborn. And so these people that are doing things that are against the word of God, that are fighting against the church and fighting against the body of Christ, God is giving them an opportunity to repent. Sure, you know, me and you, he should have been handled it. But he knows what he's doing. So we're going to have to trust him in that and know that some of these, not all, but some of them that are doing some of these most ungodly and awful things, they're going to come to repentance. They're going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to change their heart. And that's what will affect. He said when the righteous are in seats of authority, then the people rejoice. But when people that have the unrighteous, then the people mourn. So we got a lot of people mourning now because
mm-hmm.
unrighteous are in seats of authority. Well, let's begin to pray this prayer and see God begin to turn hearts so he can get the unrighteous out and put the righteous in, and that's when the nations will rejoice.
Mm-hmm. We have about 3 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's on the line would like to come make a comment. This is your time. Anybody have a question? This is your time. Martin McIntyre, would you like to close us out with prayer?
Yes, sir, I'll be honored to. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time together around your word. Father, it is never a waste of time to spend time with the people of God and in your word. We're so thankful and grateful that you gave Apostle Armstrong this vision. Thank you, Lord, that your word is going around the world like the waters cover the sea. Thank you, Father God, that you have strengthened us to be able to outlast and endure anything that the enemy would try to bring. You have given us weapons, God, that we can use and stand and strengthen ourselves during these great hours of transition. Father, I thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. I thank you for every listener, everywhere that this voice is being heard. Father, I pray that your people have been built up, your people have been strengthened, your people have been encouraged to know that I, the Lord God, I change not. This earth is yours. It belongs to you. You created it. You set the boundaries. You scooped out the hills, the valleys, and the mountains. You set the sun, the moon, and the stars, and it was perfect then, and it's perfect now. You chose to create man, create him, and make him in your own image and your likeness. You chose to breathe your breath into him. You chose to send him into this earth to be the perfect representation of you. You allowed Jesus to walk out his ministry to show us who you are really like. Now, Father, as we sit in this day and this hour, we read your word. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is opening our eyes and giving us clarity and revelation and understanding. I speak peace. I speak love. I speak comfort. I speak joy to everyone that's listening tonight, those that have lost hope tonight, those that feel overwhelmed, those that feel burdened down, Lord God. I just pray that a fresh wind of your spirit, a fresh wind of your spirit. We just comfort the brokenhearted tonight. Feed those that are hungry. Meet the needs tonight, Lord God. That's who you are. That's what you do as our Father. And God, we're so thankful and grateful. We're grateful that Tay is fine tonight. The enemy was not able to take her out. He won't take her out because, God, she belongs to you. Father, I just pray for Apostle Armstrong, even after the transitioning of his wife. Lord God, I know there's still things that he's dealing with that. He knows where she is, but that was his wife for many, many years. And I ask you, Lord God, to comfort him and be a presence for him, to strengthen him in hours and things he can't tell anybody but you. And, Father, I just pray for the staff. I pray for Apostle Miller tonight. I just thank you for your love, your mercy, your kindness, and your goodness. And, Father, we look to you because you are the source of our hope, our joy, our life, and our strength. Father, we love you, we honor you, and we appreciate you. And I pray that the heavenly fragrance of God will perfume every household that is hearing this word tonight. Father, we honor you, we love you, we praise you and we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus the Christ, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Shalom, shalom.